Welcome back to WSHIT's Cupid's Corner. It's 11:37 p.m. on the studio clock, here on a chilly, rainy Saturday crabapple evening. I'm your host, Barbara Ballbanger, the fourth sister wife of Pastor Bill Ballbanger. I'm here along with my co-host, Crabapple's number one marriage and sex therapist, Dr. Judy Schlitznitz. Every Saturday, we take listener questions, read your emails, and give advice on your relationship concerns. Let's review an email we just got here in the studio. This listener is calling herself Chastity. Chastity asks, "Dear Dr. Schlitznitz, I've been in a relationship, a serious relationship, for the last 4 years with my boyfriend. However, last week, I uncovered some concerning text messages on his phone and discovered he was having coital relationships with both my mother and my grandfather. Very concerning, Chastity. And while I certainly have my own thoughts on this, let's turn to the expert, Dr. Schlitznitz. Any advice for Chastity in what must be a very confusing and painful time for her?"
You find yourself over in the corner crying because of a man don't love you anymore. Maybe because he's already got some love somewhere else. And you just crying over a man with his thousands of fishes in the pool, where you can find one that would just do everything you want to do. But he ain't gonna cheat on you and give you all the things that you want. You just gotta learn how to get some things for yourself. Bye.
Well, that's certainly one way to look at it. In our family, we have a saying, if you kissed her, invite her to be your sister. Make lemons out of lemonade, Chastity. Okay, we'll be back with more Cupid's Corner after this commercial break.
On this episode of the commercial break.
Nothing like having a 24-year-old beautiful nurse shave your hairy, fat chest so she can get the suction cups on. So, okay, I get all the suction cups on. And I'm walking out of the place, and I notice that under my shirt, it just looks like I'm sorry, it looks like I have a bum. That's what it looks like. It looks like I'm in Ireland during the Troubles. And look out. I look like an IRA member. Thank God I didn't have to go to the airport. Thank God.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. I came in there a little hot. I was I'm just getting used to things. It's new in here, and I'm getting used to it. I looked last night. I was sitting in this chair, and I was doing, like, some tech checks. Figuring out how many things were going to go wrong today.
Fusing wires together.
Oh, my God. Look at the amount of wires.
I know.
And then it's just a whole mess. It's a whole thing. We really need, like, we need Odyssey to come in here and clean this shit up for us. That should be in our next contract negotiation. Help us figure out wires in our studio. Because you know that at least half of these don't do anything.
No.
They're just hanging down, hoping at someday to be useful to somebody. And that's probably never going to happen. Sorry, guys. It's probably never going to happen. You're always going to be hanging there doing
nothing. I'll take a five-hour energy and come in here and get to work.
Oh, my God. We have more five-hour energies than we know what to do with. If you want a five-hour energy, let us know. We'll send you a few. Thank you to 5-Hour Energy, by the way, a sponsor of the show. Love me some 5-Hour Energy, but we have a lot of 5-Hour energy in here. You know, that's one of the, I mean, we don't get a lot of perks for being a middling comedy podcast.
No.
It's not like, you know, we get red carpet invitations or anything like that.
Huge gift bags.
Huge gift bag. No. None of that stuff. I wish. But what we do get on occasion is our sponsors are nice enough to send us some stuff. Like Dollar Shave Club. I got a really nice shaving kit from them with a bunch of stuff in it. It was a really nice gift, actually. It was very well presented. Very nice gift. But that's one of the very few things that you can, like, say, oh, that's a perk of being a comedy podcast in the middle of the pack. But 5-Hour Energy was nice enough to send us a bunch of 5-Hour Energy.
I mean, we might need to be talking to them about the sponsorship for the 12
Well, that's
hours.
True. For the, well, We haven't really talked about this yet, but we'll get to it. But we are planning something big for our 5 years. It's unannounced. But for our 5th year anniversary as a podcast, as a middling comedy podcast, we are planning something really big. So stay tuned. Well, we'll throw the name out there and then you guys can kind of figure out what it is. The 12 hours of TCB. And then I'll let you chew on that until we have all of the details nailed down and we are 100% sure that this is actually happening. It's probably best that we just leave it.
Probably. A lot can happen.
We're also working on a merch drop and all this other stuff, but I'm reluctant to say any of it because how many times in our history have we mentioned something that never happens?
A lot.
I mean, we had live shows until hours before we were supposed to be on stage. Until hours before we were supposed to be on stage. That came down to the very last minute. And anyway, I don't want to talk about all the things we haven't done. Let's talk about all the great things we are going to do. I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do. We will not likely be attending the Firefest 2. Firefest 2, I don't think it's even happening. I'm going to give you weekly updates on this until it just falls all apart. And right now, so last week I mentioned that Firefest 2 had been announced. They were selling tickets. The lowest price ticket is $1,400. They're doing it a little differently this time. You cannot actually, I mean, I would hope. You would hope.
Yeah, they needed to change.
Billy McFarland, who of course spent time in jail for defrauding a bunch of people regarding Firefest 1, got out of jail. He owes millions of dollars in restitution to the people who were left high and dry at the last festival. I don't need to tell you about Fire Festival. You remember 2020, the whole shit show. Yeah, there's been multiple documentaries made about this. And if you don't know what Fire Fest is, then I don't even know why. How did you find a podcast? How did you press play on a podcast? But Billy is at it again. He has announced Fire Fest 2. It has long been brewing. I know because I told the story about how someone in his organization supposedly, and I think it was true that they were in the organization. I think I even talked to Billy on email a few times, but they had been asking for a long time if Billy could come on the show and talk about Firefest 2 or some derivative thereof. And I just decided it wasn't worth the trouble. I didn't want a platform. It wasn't worth the trouble. So Firefest, I know, I'm so glad that I never agreed to that. This is back when we weren't doing interviews either. Yeah. And I'm really glad because the commercial break is not 60 minutes. I mean, we're not even Dave Letterman. We're just like, you know, two buffoons asking people questions. And I think Billy really deserves a treatment, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
fully vetted interview where all of the tough questions are asked and you hold his feet to the fire. And that's not us because we're too nice for that. Despite what you might hear on air, we're actually pretty nice people and we're not interested in like de-skinning someone here on the air. Although if we were going to de-skin somebody, it might be Billy McFarland. So he announces.
Isn't it just skinning?
I don't know. What do I know? That's another reason why I'm probably not best suited for this job. I don't even know the English language all that well. Anyway, Billy has announced Firefest 2. Last week he announced it, or the week before. They put a website up. It's in Flash. Did you see it?
I've been reading different things about it too. And I mean, he's saying it's on. Well, everybody else is saying it's not.
Let me share. So he announces this. I go to the website, like I'm sure millions and millions of other people did, including people who still owed money by him. And the lowest price ticket is $1,400. The highest price is $1 million. And for that, you get a private flight from Miami to Cancun, which is, by the way, like an hour and a half flight. It's not even like you're flying over to Europe. It's an hour and a half flight on a private plane that you could probably rent for $100,000 or less. You could probably rent it for $50,000. It's 8 tickets, and then you get to stay on a yacht, quote unquote, or a villa. So a couple things that Billy has done differently this time is he has decided no one can stay actually on the property overnight. There's no camping. You have to go to one of the hotels that are close.
Right.
There's a couple problems with all of this that people you know, it didn't take long to figure out. Number one, he didn't put the actual location of the festival. He put latitude, longitude, like he did on the last festival that ended up being a private island once owned by, I don't know, Chapo Guzman or something like that. El Chapo. This time he puts the latitude longitude. It is literally in the Gulf of Mexico. Like when you put in the latitude longitude, it's in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not even on land. It's somewhere in the middle of the ocean. So not really specific about where this is going to be. He names some hotels that he has relationships with that are going to give discounted, you know, fare or whatever. I mean, $1,400, nothing is discounted. I'm promising you this. You don't even get a hotel room for $1,400. That's just showing up to the actual festival. He has not announced one person that's going to be there except for a couple of sports stars that are going to show up. And I'm not going to name them because they probably will change their mind. And I don't know. I don't have anything against them. So some athletes are going to show up. Do you want to go to a festival to see some athletes? Is this the NBA finals or what's going on? Doesn't make any sense to me. It's incongruent. There's no musicians that I know of that have been slated to play or announced formally. Billy keeps on putting on his stories pictures of these athletes and then just their name. And everyone's assuming that's who's going to show up, but he doesn't really say it out loud because he probably doesn't have a contract with them yet. He knows he can't do that. So let's say this. There's no one yet playing. There's no location. The people of Cancun, Mexico, the government there has said no one has asked us to get a permit for this, and they will need one. So as far as we're concerned, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. So unless Billy gets his shit together really quick, this is happening in like 2 months,
so
by
messy.
The way.
It's so weird.
It's so messy. You don't do any of this like this. You just don't. Unless you're Jamland Productions, you do not put Firefest together like this. You're asking for trouble.
And why is this your comeback? Like, wouldn't you be sure everything was
everything.
Locked in? Everything was above and beyond.
First of all, I'd have investors that have cash in an escrow account. I'd have a probably more than one accounting firm that was managing the money, like, you know, Goldman's, I don't know who, but somebody that was announced along with it. Somebody else is managing the money. We are a year out from the festival. This is 2 months away. He's announcing this 2 months away. No acts, no permits, no nothing. So I would have an accounting firm, maybe two, that were handling the money, all of the money. It never touches my hands. I'm not in charge of it. Mm-hmm. I cannot get anything paid for unless they sign off on it and it's going to the intended purposes. I would have all of the acts booked and paid for so that you know they're showing up. And I would make sure that I had every permit that I ever needed in place. And I would try and sell reasonably priced tickets and forget about all this luxury bullshit that is just going to appeal to a few people. But those people, if they have any sense in their head, are not going to be spending $1 million on a private flight and a hotel room that could cost you a total of $100,000 if you did it the best way possible.
And sign up on the website.
Yeah, and give me your credit card information on Billy's website. That's in Flash, by the way. Flash! Who does Flash? So, the government says this is not happening. There is no actual location. There are no actual artists that have been announced. And no one is coming forward to say, I'm playing Firefest 2, which you would think they would 2 months out. But here's the kicker. Billy goes on Good Morning America.
What?
Don't ask me why they invited him on there. But okay. They go because it's a story. It's a story, and just
right,
like us,
no,
they have to
I'm
kill
surprised.
Content. He goes on Good Morning America. He does an interview, but the interviewers are prepped. They are ready. They have done their homework. They have called the hotels and the government, and they have called the hotels to ask them, are you, in fact, accepting patrons of this festival? Do you have deals with Billy? And two of the three hotels that were named on the website as sister hotels, people that are doing business with Billy, say, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
None. This is a shit show. History is repeating itself. I think Billy is trying to get the money first and put it together backwards. You cannot put together a festival for 100 people in 2 months, let alone 100,000 or whatever Billy's aim is. It is crazy, Billy. Everybody loves a comeback story. You did the crime. You did the time. I don't argue that everybody deserves a second chance, but you can't then just do the same shit you were doing before and telegraphing it. You need to, I can't believe the balls on this
guy. I know,
guy.
Me too.
So he goes and he does this reel where he's like walking around the streets of Miami or something, addressing all of the things that he that people have now figured out about this, right? And he combats them point by point. Do you want to listen to that?
Yeah, but what did he say on Good Morning America?
I only watched a clip of it.
Okay.
But he claims that, you know, I think the way that the interview was framed is kind of one of these cutaway interviews where they're interviewing him, not live, but they're interviewing him. It's a canned interview. And he's saying one thing, then they're flashing to the reporter saying something else, right? Would you like to hear
great
what he had
promotion.
To say? It's just terrible. It's just so terrible. Billy.
So weird.
McFarland. Peter. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, listen to this. I'm going to put this up to the speaker here.
Hey, buddy. I have a really important fire update. Last week, I did an interview in the Today Show.
Today Show, I'm sorry.
And since then, the story has been shared, retold.
This is why I don't put together festivals, because I can't even remember which television show I've been on.
Twisted and covered by journalists from all over the world. I figured it would be best to hear directly from me what's actually happening. First, Fire 2 is real. Second, we have incredible partners leading the festival. They're in charge of all the logistics, productions, and operations.
Who?
Some production company.
That they don't name.
That they do name.
Oh.
But that production company has not come forward to confirm that they're part of the festival yet. They don't have it on their website. They don't have it on their social media. And apparently this production company is legitimate in some people's eyes.
Uh-huh.
But this production company is not owning up to the fact that they are partnering with Billy. Now, I think their silence speaks volumes. They probably do. They probably have said to Billy, if you get your shit together, we will produce this festival, but you need to pay us and you need to get your shit together. And Billy just went ahead and put their name on the website, hoping that things worked out.
Production team in Mexico who does not mess around. There is no way they would ever take on a fake festival.
Said the people who took on the Face Festival.
Yeah.
Naturally, this is a huge point of emphasis given the issues surrounding Fire 1. Our accommodations include contracts, the number of villas, yachts, and hotels. This also includes two hotels who were contacted by the media.
Hotels?
Hotels.
Submitting statements saying they never heard of Fire and they aren't working with us. After hearing this, I asked my team to terminate those contracts and to focus on the hotels and other partners who are eager to work with and support Fire.
So let me get this straight, Billy.
Yeah.
You had hotels that were, you put on the website that people could go stay at. Somebody called them. They said, we have no idea what you're talking about. First, we're hearing of it.
So you terminated your
relationship with them. Oh, okay. Sounds like the relationship was terminated before it started.
We have talent. Artists, athletes, and other performers are on board and scheduled for Fire 2.
Other performers?
Five. Restitution is being paid.
I'm picturing like a guy out there in a unicycle.
Yeah.
Going down the beach.
You know that guy at the fish show who's outside twirling flames?
Yeah.
Who can't seem to get it right? Who's one step away from setting himself on fire? Yeah. That's what I imagine. I imagine guys, like, you know, the hacky sackers. Hacky sack. This is going to be such a shit show. Such a shit show, performers. What are you going to have, a girl with like a, you know, those girls who wear the metal boobs and then they take like a drill to it and it makes sparks?
Yeah.
Woo, I paid a million dollars for a private plane all the way down. I imagine the private plane is like the TCB plane. It's like got one wing, one propeller that works. You're not going to get down there in one piece. What are you thinking? Don't do it. Oh, sorry. Wait. Hey, sorry.
Also, he said artists.
I've also made it my mission to do more than legally required. Part of this has been giving a large percentage of Fire 2's budget and profits directly to restitution.
How do you give the part of the budget of the festival to restitution?
Yeah, you can.
So you're taking investors' money and you're paying the other people back? It doesn't make
any
sense.
That's a Ponzi scheme.
It's a total Ponzi scheme. This guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. If you... Listen, in the festival community, Billy's name is Mud, and it's never going to be any better until he partners with a legitimate festival organizer, and he sits in the background and learns how to do it a couple of times. And then maybe he can do his own festival. Am I right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, Jeff's in the festival world, and yeah, this is a sham.
This is a total sham. Yeah. Mempho, produced by Billy McFarland. Mempho too.
Good evening, everybody.
Okay. All right. You get the gist of it. He goes on and on. Yeah, he addresses every point, and it's all bullshit. I have a team down there that doesn't F around. Well, I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
Well, where's that website so I can sign up?
Where are those people, and why aren't they talking? Where are those people, and why aren't they saying something? And why hasn't anyone knocked on the door of the Cancun mayor's office and said, hey, I'd like to bring 50,000 people down here to have a festival, and here's what it's going to do for the community, and here's how we're going to work with you. If they are saying out loud, the government of Cancun is saying, we have no idea what this guy is talking about, and it's not happening unless we do. This is Mexico. This ain't Northeast Arkansas, where you can just get buddies together and throw up a stage and have a couple beers. This isn't Mudden Fest Part 2. You know what I'm saying? This is like a major festival.
I know.
But we don't know who's playing. We don't know where we could stay. And we have no idea what location it's at.
Yeah, he said artists, not what kind of artists.
Athletes, artists, and musicians.
And other performers.
And other performers.
He didn't even really say musicians.
He didn't. No. So what are you going to do? Steph Curry's going to show up and bounce a basketball? What's happening? I'm not paying $1,400 for that. I'm sure Steph is a nice guy. I'm sure he's really talented at basketball. He is, obviously. But I'm not going to pay to watch him bounce a basketball. And unless Steph Curry is spending the night in my hotel room, I'm not paying $1,400.
It's March. You cannot not be announcing who's coming.
You should have done this 7 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago. I mean, we talked about this. Bonnaroo is the gold standard of 3-day festivals.
You can do blind tickets early on sale. Go ahead.
Pre-sale discounts.
Trust it. And people will buy those for established stuff. Mempho's the same way. They don't announce the seats yet. But you can't. Billy can't do that.
No, he can't
do
that.
Not with what just happened.
Yes, because he just screwed like 10,000 people. And it was so bad that the bands didn't even make the flight to go down there.
It was so bad there were two documentaries.
Two.
About it.
Two.
About how bad it was.
One of the producers gave a blowjob for water. Or he was going to.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's that guy? If that guy's involved, I'll trust it. Maybe. Because at least he seemed like he was willing to get shit done. Billy, meanwhile, was with Ja Rule on some pig island or something. And international, you know, Kylie Jenner swimming in a bikini. I don't know what was going on. It was awful. It was terrible. It's all hype, no substance. And this time, Billy, you got to be all substance and no hype. You just have to put like every other festival in the world, put a website together, a really clean website where you don't have to use half of your fucking phone's memory to get it loaded. A really clean website that says these three nights, these three musicians are headlining. Here's some supporting acts. It's a reasonable ticket amount. Come have fun down in Cancun. I promise this time it's going off. And these are the people that are handling the money. And these are the people that are going to keep you safe. And here's the local government that we're working with to make sure that everyone gets in and out in an orderly way. All of this other shit is just noise. And Billy is trying to pull the wool over whose eyes? I don't know.
I don't know. Who's believing it?
He claims that he's already sold Phoenix ticket or, you know, Phoenix Fire ticket or whatever it is. Some weird name that Prometheus. Oh, yeah, Prometheus. And Prometheus, isn't he the guy who, like, set the world on fire or something? I think Prometheus, the god that set the world on fire. Anyway, don't buy Fire Fest 2 tickets. That's a little piece of advice from your friends here at the commercial break. And if you have, well, shame on you.
Well, if you have, please report in. Tell us.
Yeah, no. I don't think anybody's bought tickets. I really don't. I believe that Billy is in a panic now because this bad press has come out. And everyone is saying, no way am I putting $1,400 down. I don't care if you're Elon fucking Musk. $1,400 is $1,400.
Yeah.
And you don't just piss that away. Because if you buy that, there is zero chance that you will get your money back if shit goes sideways, because he doesn't have it. He is desperately trying to collect money so he can put it together backwards.
It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. And shame on anybody who's part, any of these artists or whoever they are, and athletes. And listen, I understand everyone's got to make money, and maybe Billy's paying you under the table or whatever's going on. Whatever your deal is personally, or maybe you like Billy as a friend. I'm not sure. But shame on you. You should also be doing your homework and saying, if this is not really happening, Billy, I cannot have my name on it. Period. End of sentence. Because the thing is, he gets a few famous people involved. Now all of a sudden everybody thinks it's legit and they're buying tickets.
But that's what happened last time.
That's what happened last time. All of those models, yeah, when started
they
swimming in the water.
They blew all their budget on the promotion, on the, you know, the videos.
Influencers.
And all the stuff. And those people got paid, and then the people had cheese sandwiches.
Cheese sandwiches and muddy tents. They didn't even have tents. They weren't even set up. Yeah. They were trying to set them up themselves. Glamping. It was like a porta toilet, a portalette, and a blow up mattress. That's not glamping. That is regular camping, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. All right. Well, you get the point. Don't go to Billy's festival.
But I am very interested to see how this plays out now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me too.
I mean, he's doubling down.
Yeah.
He's digging his heels into the sand.
You know what? If I absolutely. Well, this reel was put out over a week ago as we're recording this. And my suspicion is it's like radio silence now, because now he's really fucked. Because now to the Today Show has de-skinned him or skinned him or whatever. And there's nothing else to do. You can't recover from that in 2 months. If you had a year, maybe, but in 2 months, it's just not going to happen. All right. Okay. Let's take a break. And then I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll figure it out. Yes. We'll be back.
Rachel here. While Brian takes his old man bladder to the little boys' room, let's talk turkey. TCB needs your help. If you love the show, do us all a favor and share. Sharing is caring, and we know you care, don't you? Do you want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822, and you could be the next TCB disembodied voice. Ooh, what'd you do today? I was a disembodied voice. You know, that sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Find us on Insta at The Commercial Break, on the web at tcbpodcast.com, and all the episodes on video are available the same day at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I'm going to go help Brian get back up the stairs while you listen to the sponsors, and then we'll all meet back here and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break. I'll take a raise now, bitches. Bye.
All right. Hey, I wanted to remind you that Kathleen Madigan was on the show this week. Her fall tour tickets are now available. They're on sale at her website, KathleenMadigan.com. I will put a link in the show notes. You can go listen to Tuesday's episode with her. What a great guest. Kathleen Madigan is like, it's just so familiar, that her whole personality is so familiar to me. And it felt like being at a family function. It really did.
She was great.
Yeah, she was great. And I hope that she comes back on again. And I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around Nate Bargatze, Ron White, Kathleen Madigan. Yeah. Who else did she say? She said some other famous person, all playing golf behind her house, like, you know, teeing it up during the pandemic. And fishing. I think that's great. I think it's great. And I went back and looked at her Instagram, and you could see pictures of her and Ron and stuff like that. So anyway, KathleenMadigan.com. Go check out her tickets. Hey,
Lewis Black.
Oh, Lewis Black, that's right.
Yeah, he came in from New York.
He came in from New York and he was yelling at the TV. She had to turn it off.
Yes.
That's so Lewis Black. Yeah. That's so on brand for Lewis Black. And I also wanted to give a big shout out to Ari Shaffir. Ari, of course, is on his farewell tour, which just means he's taking some time off, probably some well-deserved time. He's taking some time off. He's going away for a year or two, and then he'll come back. But he's on his farewell tour right now. He's swinging through Atlanta this weekend. We're going to go see him. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about this. I want to thank him very much. He was kind enough to send us some tickets. And then encourage you to go buy some tickets. I can't send you free tickets. I'm sorry. You don't have the kind of clout that TCB has. Huh? All right? Okay?
That's right.
Yeah. You're not bringing in pot brownies. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, Ari Shaffir, at arishaffir.com, you can go and check out his tour tickets are available. Go see Ari and listen to his podcast also. So Kathleen Madigan, Ari, go check that out. There's a very interesting trend that's going on, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Puffy pussy. Have you heard of puffy pussy?
No.
You haven't heard of puffy pussy?
No.
I think this is seems to me to be a very dangerous thing to do, but what the fuck do I know? I'm not a medical professional, though I did spend the night at Holiday Inn last night, and I am a Google doctor. I will say that. I do know how to Google the shit out of some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know how to go down a rabbit hole medically.
Oh, we all do.
I know
now.
All the places to go. I know all the things to look for.
All the Reddits.
Yeah, Chatty GPT knows all my conditions. It actually knows I'm a hypochondriac. It's like, settle down. You're not sick. Settle down. This is nothing to worry about. I'll share this. A couple of, when I went through the whole thing with the parathyroid,
yes,
and my calcium levels were through the roof and my parathyroid hormone was through the roof for many, many years. And it kind of went unnoticed. When I finally got diagnosed that some of the things that I was experiencing, some of the symptoms I was having were due to this high calcium level and the high parathyroid level and the tumor in my throat, the rather large one. One of the follow-up items was you got to go see a cardiologist because, of course, having that much calcium in your blood for that long could cause damage to your heart. It could collect in your arteries or mm-hmm. whatever. You got to go get it checked out just to make sure. So I go and, you know, they do an echocardiogram and an EKG and all this. And they say, hey, listen, you know, your heart looks healthy. Everything looks good. Your blood pressure's a little high, but all right, you know, everything else looking good. Thank God. But then a couple of months later, I start feeling like my heart is skipping a beat, like a palpitation. Mm-hmm. And while I've always had this sensation, like sometimes when I'm laying in bed at night, you know, when everything's quiet, I'll feel my heart skip a beat. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever felt this.
Yeah, no, I have. Okay. I think it's pretty common.
It's extraordinarily common.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop Brian from completely freaking out about it. Completely freaking out. Because I usually experience it at night, but then all of a sudden I'm experiencing it during the day. It's happening much more frequently, and it's noticeable. And if you've ever felt your heart skip a beat, the thing is, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
It's called a PVC, a premature, you know, I don't know, vasectomy coming. I don't know what it's called. It's called something, PVC. And it happens to everybody. It's just when your heart just, it pumps one extra. And it gives you the sensation that your heart has skipped a beat.
Yes.
But that's really not what's happening. It's got an extra beat. So this happens to everybody. It usually represents much less than 2 or 3% of your total heartbeats over the course of a given period of time. But Brian is freaking out about this so much, I run to the cardiologist, and he says, okay, no problem. We know exactly what to do here. We're going to fit you with a heart monitor for 7 days. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, how do you do that? What's that? Like you put on a ring or, you know, we're all so used to these gadgets. I'm like,
wearables,
do I have a wearable? Are you going to take my data from and he's like, well, we actually don't, we have so many of these tests going on that we don't have one available. You got to wait your turn. So come back in a couple of weeks and we'll fit you with it. And I'm thinking, fit me with it. He's like, yeah, it's a little thing that goes around your chest. Don't worry, it's fine. You'll be, So I go a couple of weeks ago and I'm like, okay, it's my appointment day. And it's been a month since I've been to the doctor. You know, I've been waiting a month for this. And of course, now I'm not experiencing the things that I was experiencing before. So it's just like taking your dog to the vet. Everything's wrong with your tooth hurts and you get there and it's no longer hurting or whatever. You get it. So I show up and I this nice young lady, and she's got this black box. It looks like a small suitcase. And she's like, okay, I'm fitting you today with a heart monitor X220. And I'm like, okay, great. How do we do this? It is a full EKG machine that you wear on your body, wires and all. So she's explaining to me this thing as she's unboxing it. And I am thinking to myself, holy shit, that's like 50 feet worth of wires. That's those stickers you got to put on your body. It's the things you got to clip into the stickers. It's the little suction cups that go.
Your energy is just attracted to wires.
Oh, my God.
It is.
Wired, clunky,
the studio,
scary
on your
shit.
Body.
Yes. Yes. I can't get away from the wires. I'm like a walking telephone pole, you know, but not the kind here in America, like the kind down in, you know, Argentina, where they're all the wires are coming out of the box. Like people hook up directly to the transformer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They plug stuff into the transformer. It's like, you know, you go to some of those places like the favelas and stuff, and people literally run an extension cord and then they cut the extension cord off and they plug it into the transformer themselves. So this lady's taking out all these wires and these suction cups and these stickers. And I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. And she's like, don't worry. It's really quite cool. They're very small. And I'm thinking, nothing is small about what you're showing me, but okay. It's a machine, I would say, the size of my cell phone. But it's heavier and it's bigger. It's thicker. And it's got one big button in the front of it. And it's got a little small screen. And that big button you're supposed to press anytime you feel that sensation or any sensation. Aching, dizziness, confusion, whatever it is. I mean, if I don't know how, if you're confused, you're pressing the button. But okay, you know. So you're supposed to press the button and let them know which symptom you're feeling. Meanwhile, 24 hours a day, unless you are showering, you've got to be hooked up to this monitor that then hooks up to this larger clunky thing. Or you can wear a small, I would say it's like the size of a keychain. You can put that keychain into one of the suction cups, and that acts as like a sixth suction cup. So it's like this confusing mass of wires and machines that you've got to carry around with you at all times. You can't be more than 50 feet from the base station. You have to charge the base station while you're wearing it. It's a whole thing. I could do this for at least 7 days is what she says. The doctor may want more information, but wow, at least 7 days. Chrissy.
Were you like, I'm not feeling it anymore?
Well, yeah, no, I that's what I said to her. I said, I've got a ring. Yeah. I've got an Aura ring. Do you want that data?
An Apple Watch. Yeah.
Because my Aura ring is this small, and it can tell me whether or not I'm having a good day or a bad day based on every – it can tell me my cardio age, how I slept, whether or not I'm sick. And you're giving me this clunky piece of wiry shit that I got to wear around for 7 days? Oh, and by the way, it's being monitored 24 hours a day. It has a cell phone signal. And she says, so if anything goes wrong, they're going to call you. And I was like, wrong, like what? And she's like, if they see anything weird, they're going to give you a call to make sure you're okay. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of big brother-ish, but okay, let's get this over with.
I'm in this far.
So I've got all of these wires that are big and bulky sitting under my shirt. But oh, and by the way, because I have the world's largest amount of chest hair that I have to manage on a daily basis, she can't get the suction cups on, so she's got to take her own razor and shave my chest. Uh-huh. Nothing like having a 24-year-old beautiful nurse shave your hairy, fat chest so she can get the suction cups on. So, okay, I get all the suction cups on, and I'm walking out of the place, and I notice that under my shirt, it just looks like I'm sorry, it looks like I have a bomb. That's what it looks like. It looks like I'm in Ireland during the Troubles. And look out. I look like an IRA member. Thank God I didn't have to go to the airport. Thank God. But okay, here I am. I'm running around with all these wires sticking under my shirt. So now I got to pick bulky clothing so it doesn't look like I'm about to kill everybody in the place. And I'm walking around. Well, just my luck, on the third day of wearing this, we have to go to a kid's birthday party. With all of the people that I know from the school already hate me because of the commercial break. Now I got to go in there and try and explain away all the wires sticking out of my chest. And like,
I'm doing the show right now.
Yeah.
You're on.
You're all, hey, you're on candid camera. No. That's not a heart monitor. That's seven microphones hooked up to my body. I'm recording you in Pink Floyd Dolby Audio for my new movie. You heard it here last. Every fart, every movement, every burp and palpitation recorded in hi-fi so you can hear it.
Oh my God.
So I go into this place. This is actually a pretty cool birthday party. Here's the thing.
The cheese?
I didn't go to the cheese. I wish I had gone to the cheese because the food was really good there. But this was a idea that did on paper sounded terrible, but in theory, in reality, ended up being fantastic.
Do you tell?
Here's the invitation. So I never know about any of this stuff until like minutes before we're leaving. You know what I'm saying? I'm never. Yeah. I just can't remember. Or I don't keep up with it or what. It's on the family calendar. I can see it, but whatever. I'll look at it that day. So Astrid says to me, yeah, we're going to a place that sells swing sets and play sets for backyards. Trampolines.
Okay.
Big, you know, jungle gyms and tree houses and all this. We're going to this place that sells it. And I thought to myself, one of two things. Either these people are friends with the people who own it and they're allowing us to go in there and hang out, or This is the cheapest way to do a birthday party ever. Just have everybody show up at the place that's
up. Meet me there.
You meet me there. And, you know, hey, we're thinking about buying. Do you mind if I eat my birthday cake here? I was so, like, I thought to myself, oh, okay, that's interesting. I've never seen this.
Yeah, that's new.
But we show up. It's like in a strip, like an industrial strip mall or something like that. And I thought, this is like really weird. But we walk in, and this place is a wonderland of these huge swing sets, jungle gyms, tree houses.
Oh.
In the ground trampolines, above the ground trampolines, all of this stuff indoors. It's kind of cold outside, a little muggy, a little rainy. So we go there, and it's perfect. And you can go on any of them. All the kids just go, and they play on all of these beautiful swing sets and play places and all
That's
this other stuff.
Wild.
And they rent the place out for a couple $100 an hour and on weekends, and you can just go and hang out.
Makes sense, I guess. Use some extra money for your models.
That's right. And you don't have the place to yourself. There can be people in that are coming to look at the swing sets, but they're bringing their children too. So, yeah. You know, there was a couple of people that walked in during that time. But this was the most brilliant idea. At the end of the day, it was like really fun for everybody, including me, who's wearing a heart monitor, jumping on the trampoline with the kids.
Course.
I'm like double bouncing yes. these small children, and the parents are like, does he have a bomb in his shirt or what's going on there? I'm sweating profusely because I have a sweater on because I'm trying to cover up the wires. But the entire time, like I know some of these people, the entire time I'm talking to them, all I can see them doing is staring at the wires under my shirt. That's it. That's it.
Yes, I would be. You yes. would be.
I was like, well, all right, I guess. And I didn't tell anybody. I just said, you know what? If they're not asking, I'm not saying. Because it just sound you sound old when you say, yeah, I'm wearing a heart monitor. Wearing a heart monitor. I mean, it was an interesting afternoon. It was an interesting 7 days.
Yes.
And now I have these, like, the skin has been ripped off the places where I had these things because I had to change the stickers every day. And it was just a lot. I'm pressing that button left and right. Anyway, so I go, you know, I get all that done. And the doctor says, well, you had 1,685 PVCs while we were doing this, while we were having this.
Okay.
But that represents much less than 1%. Of the total beats of your heart, so you're in good shape.
You're good.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just have this weird sensation that my heart is stopping every 5 seconds. No problem, doc. So something you could do about that? Can you? And I've learned that there is a procedure. When your heart gets out of whack, when you got like more than 10 or 15% of your beats are like that, there's a couple procedures they can do. One of them is literally shocking it back into rhythm.
Yes.
Stop your heart, yes. Start it again so it gets into rhythm, like mm-hmm. into a sinus rhythm. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, don't let that be me.
Yeah.
Because knowing me and my, you know, wire propensity, it's going to be hooked up the wrong way and it's just going to stop and not start again. Anyway, was going to talk about puffy pussy, so let's do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about puffy pussy on the next segment. I'll make you listen to some commercials. I'll make you wait for puffy pussy, okay? You're not getting your puffy pussy here. No puffy tacos here, kids. We'll have to talk about it when we get back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now, I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
All right, puffy tacos. That's what we're talking about, puffy tacos. So I saw this reel a couple weeks ago. Saw a reel, two ladies talking about their friends had been discussing how they had injectables, like in plumpers, mm-hmm. like lip plumpers, butt plumper, you know, plumpers around your eyes or whatever. There are now doctors, plastic surgeons types, that are injecting that into women's labias to increase the size of their labia and make it look more full, more plump, more inviting, I guess would be the right word to put it. And these ladies were explaining that as you get older, the labia loses some elasticity, it loses some of that plumpiness. And when you have children, sometimes it can do damage to the actual labia. Not damage, but it can stretch it and make it look different and all that other stuff. And so they're like, I guess the bottom line was some women are getting these so they can encourage a camel toe, because it's not like the inner labia, it's the outer labia. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're getting these injectables into their outer labia so that they can enhance the camel toe, okay, so to speak, which is really interesting to me. And I don't know. I mean, I don't love the idea of putting something like that so close to something so sensitive, but I don't have one, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. And if someone could tell me that I could actually see my penis if I plumped it up with something, I might do that. I might do that. I might inject something. And I know that there are guys who do procedures like this,
yeah,
to enhance the look of the
guy
penis.
And isn't the guy that's doing, you know, that he's doing like that billionaire guy that's trying to live forever,
yes,
whatever, isn't he injecting like Botox in his penis?
Yes, he's injecting Botox into his penis. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, he has had some kind of filler in there, yeah, to keep it rigid and firm and all that. Listen, I mean, yeah, okay, here's the thing. If you're doing it for you and it's something that you like the look of your vagina better when it's fuller and it gives that camel toe appearance, God bless you, child. Do what you're going to,
yeah,
do.
I
to
mean,
each their own.
Exactly. And definitely go to a trained professional.
This is what I'm thinking, is we are going to have these knockoff yahoos.
Because it happened with the BBLs, the, yeah, butt lifts.
It's happened with, know, the BBLs.
And people have died.
Oh, yeah. People have died. They have had all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses, mm-hmm, because people are taking like common household, they're taking silicone injectable, like the stuff you would put on a crack in your tile, and they are filling people's butts with that stuff. I read an article
really?
About a lady who went to one of these knockoff whatevers, mm-hmm, down in, I think it was Jamaica. She was a medical tourist. She went down there. She wanted the big, you know, beautiful butt that Kim, mm-hmm, Kardashian has ushered in this, you know, world of big, beautiful butts. And she went down there to get that, like, full look. And the guy was taking silicone he,
jeez,
bought at Home Depot for tiles.
Oh, my God.
And sticking it in her ass. And you know what? It did not end up well for her.
No.
Go fucking figure. She ended up in the hospital, all kind of sick, years of treatments. It was really quite this thing, because it's not like you can just suck it back out. It floats around your body, and,
yeah,
your body sucks it up. So that's the only, like, and I know that there are medical-grade silicone that obviously they've tested and must be approved by, if there is an FDA, the FDA. If there's an FDA left, the FDA.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so, but it's so foreign to me that you would want to like stick that in such a sensitive area. But God bless you.
People are doing everything.
I haven't met a vagina that I don't like yet. Haven't met one. There's not one vagina that I've looked at, been around, seen myself where I thought to myself, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think they're all beautiful in their own way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a trend to get it all freshened up down there. Right? To get it,
well,
high,
I mean,
and
the,
tight.
The rejuvenation has been going on for years, right?
Yes. Yes, that's where you have like a spa. Remember those girls? What didn't we do like a an
yeah,
episode?
No, that's separate. Like this, the vaginal rejuvenation is,
oh,
a
like
total,
the medical procedure.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. But didn't we do a,
we did, and that's like a whole steaming,
a steam
thing.
Your vagina.
Yeah.
Clean, sage it and clean
it's
it with
thing.
Wax and, yeah. Ugh. It sounds painful. It sounds painful to steam your vagina. But this is the new trend. Puffy pussy is the new trend. And, you know, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the future. And I'll get it done to mine and I'll let
but
you know what
happens. Basically, camel toes are in.
Camel toes are in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, nipples are seeing their moment right now.
Yeah.
I think you see that in a lot of fashion. Many,
now,
many.
There's even bras with nipples in them.
Yeah, that's Kim Kardashian ushered,
mm-hmm,
that in,
yep,
too.
Yep.
And listen, I'm not bothered by a nipple.
No.
I don't think there's any reason to be ashamed of a nipple. It's
there's
a
no
nipple.
Reason to be ashamed.
It's not going
to
kill anybody. And guys have their shirts off all the time. We see guys' nipples all the time. We have hypersexualized women's breasts. And there's like this fantasy fetish. And of course, breasts are awesome also. I haven't met a boob I don't like either, right? So I understand there's certain connotations, and there's a lot of people who may feel more shy about sharing that nipple with the world.
Yeah, each to their own.
But I was looking at Chappelle Roan with a couple of her girlfriends at one of the fashion houses in Milan Fashion Week or whatever. And without exception, there was like four of them sitting in a row. And without exception, each one of them had at least one of their nipples out, like in showing. But I thought it was all tasteful. I thought, oh, okay, all right. You know, there's the nipple.
You got it flaunted.
There it is. Yeah. And I think camel toe, just like the nipple, is the next. We talked about it. We said, hey, listen, going 100% naked to the Grammys, not a fantastic idea, in my opinion. It's all just clickbait bullshit. But after the nipple's out, there's only one other place to go, and that's down south.
Mm-hmm.
Penises are seeing their moment. We're seeing a lot of full frontal penises on television and prestige TV and movies, and camel toes are seeing their moment also. And if my Instagram is any indication, camel toes are a hot trend right now.
I think they have been.
Yeah. And there's so much camel toe content out there. You would be surprised, Chrissy.
I bet I would.
I am a man, so Instagram has instantaneously served me up every camel toe and nipple that is available on there. Yes. And for a platform that says it stays away from sexual content, there sure is a lot of hypersexual content on Instagram. And that's why I say, When my kids, they pick up my phone, they want to play a song on Spotify or whatever. And then the other day I found the youngest of them flipping through Instagram. And I'm like, oh, no. My algorithm is not for children.
No,
my algorithm is not for children.
No.
Whether it's a crazy person talking to themselves about whatever conspiracy theory or Chappelle Roan's nipples out, it's just not for children. And not that I care. I don't want my children also to have hangups like I did, like a Catholic, like about every body part that you ever have should be hidden away from the world forever. But at the same, but there's a time and a place where that's appropriate. And there's a time and a place. And especially my daughters. I just want to keep them down in the basement. I just want to keep them down in the basement, Chrissy.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want to do. You know, and I say this about plastic surgery and rejuvenation and all that. I think there is taking it too far. I definitely think that's there. And I think we're now seeing that some of the injectables that people put into their faces are not working out long term, especially if they're overdoing it. The lip fillers, the cheek fillers, the eyebrow fillers, the forehead fillers.
People have been overdoing it for years.
Yeah, but it's like moving all over their faces.
Like, I mean, I guess some people like that look, including men like that look on women, I guess. I mean, we watch those TLC shows, the twins.
Yes.
Those girls, Stacey and Darcy or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They are.
I mean, it's unbelievable just how much is in there. But I guess that's the look. And I guess some people like it. And I guess each to their own.
Listen, you got to.
You're an adult. Make your own decisions.
Make your own decisions. And if it's for you and you love it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm all about it. Right. And as long as it's not harming anyone else around
right.
you. Right. You don't do harm to yourself. I don't love the idea, but that's your choice, not mine. And those two girls are a prime example of how it can be overdone real quick.
Yeah.
They don't look human anymore.
No.
To me, they don't look human. But obviously, there are people who are attracted to them. There's lots of men that are attracted to those two girls. To me, it's way overkill. Those lips are like big hot air balloons and their cheeks are out to here. You can't even see their eyes anymore because they're between the fillers in their forehead and the fillers in their cheeks. They're like, it's just too
much.
And then the boobs and the butt and everything else that's been done. It looks so plastic fantastic. But even the Catwoman, the lady who had so much plastic surgery to make herself look like a cat, even she was attracting men. At her advanced age, looking like a weird cat. Honestly, she was somebody was attracted to that look. Somebody felt it. I guess that's a good thing, too. Like, it goes to show that no matter what you look like and what you do to yourself and what your personal preferences are with makeup and clothing and styling your hair or whatever, somebody is going to be into you. Somebody is going to love that look.
100%. Yeah.
Might not be my thing, but who fucking cares? You know, I'm only one guy. I can only have so many wives. That's it. Okay? 12. That's how many wives. According to Job. J-O-B, Job.
Yes.
I just want to make this quick mention and then I'll move on. I promise I'll move on from it. 90 Day Fiancé, brand new season. I'm not watching it with any intent. It's on in the background. When I was like fixing the studio, it was on in the background. 90 Day Fiancé, they have their first throuple.
Oh,
their first throuple.
Okay.
So they have two girls. one guy. The girl that the wife that he currently has is Brazilian, I believe. The third person they are bringing into the marriage, the woman, is a stripper from Tijuana. They're all beautiful. They're all good-looking human beings. They're all beautiful. And I am so... This is the one storyline where I'm like, okay, I'll pay attention to this storyline because that's interesting. Yeah. Hey, listen. Thruples are interesting. They're interesting.
They are, yeah.
Because you know it's going to blow up. In the second episode, the lady from Tijuana, the dancer from Tijuana, she meets up with them down in Tijuana. They're all together. They're excited. It's been a long time. All this other stuff. They're in a hot tub, and all of them are talking, and the dancer, who has just met up with them again for the first time in a long time, says, oh, while you were taking a nap, me and him had sex. And the wife is like, huh? It never works. It never works.
It takes a lot of work to make it work.
You got
to
be so, like, you got to be like the most enlightened human being in the world, the most self-aware human being in the world. You got to work on yourself 24 hours a day for that to work out, because here's the reality. That's really tough to watch your loved one have sex with someone else, the person that you love. I mean, listen, even after years of marriage, I am still madly in love with my wife, and I just kindly request she doesn't sleep with other men. That's it. That's I have one request.
Yeah.
Just don't sleep with other men. And if you are going to sleep with another man, let me know first so I can figure out a way out of here. Don't leave me. I've got too many children.
Yeah. Some people really are into it, and I, more power to you, but it does, it seems like it takes a lot of work. There's a show on Showtime called Couples Therapy.
Oh, I want to watch that show.
It's good. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's a for real.
Are those real people?
Yes, and real couples.
Those are real couples.
Okay. And on one of the seasons, they do have a throuple. And man, it just seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of effort.
Yeah.
That Gino and his wife, you know, whatever her name is.
There's all these rules and things and boundaries and stuff. I mean, long term, it just seems like it can devolve into a mess. But
anybody
that
I. More
power to you.
Yeah, more power to you. To each their own. We've always said this, to each their own. I'm not knocking it. I know there's lots of people who try it and who are in it and who like it. But I have had many friends, and I say probably more than five, couples, friends, or not couples anymore, who have tried this. And I just got this interpretation that, you know, menage a trois means your relationship is not working, because it's always the fix for something, and it never fixes anything. It makes things an extra, like, so much more complicated that then it's really hard to unfuck once you start sleeping with other people. And I had one a couple that I know, and they're such a beautiful couple, and I mean physically beautiful, and then really sweet with each other. It's like one of those you really hope, you're like rooting for them because they're so sweet to each other. And I will tell you what, they did this for a period of time and came this close to divorcing with children. And everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
And guess what? They stopped all the, you know, open marriage bullshit. And 9 years on from that, they seem very happy, very strong. And they will tell you right to your face, it wasn't a great idea.
Yeah.
We did it. It was part of our relationship, but it wasn't a great idea. And it was really hard to navigate. And it was extremely hard to navigate with the children. Like, how do you explain that?
You're
like, daddy's going on a date without your mom.
Right.
Yeah. Daddy's going to get a nut.
Like a one night fling kind of thing is one thing. But when you're actually having a relationship with three people in a relationship or more.
Yes.
I mean, there's people that are doing more than that. And it seems very hard and complicated and like a lot of work.
It really, really does.
But if it's for you.
If it's for you, if you like that kind of work. Yeah. Call us. Tell us. And then, you know, there's this like other version of like open. There are these people. I don't know how to explain it. They're not hippie-ish necessarily, but they are so against any labels or anything that they just float through the world having mild attachments that can be unattached and then reattached at any moment. And I've never seen that work out either. Like, you know, all the free people, and I sleep with this person and I sleep with that person and I love you and I don't love you. And that never works out either, because then you're just running through life damaging people's emotions. And that also feels not so great. But again, you know, there are people out there where it works. But they're French people and they're much smarter than
that's
us.
That's right.
They're French. They've got way they're more much experience. Smarter than us. They have much more experience. Yeah. And that's the way
they're
it works
Italian.
Out.
Italian.
Yeah. Look at that show's Sister Wives. It's now Sister Wife.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
no longer
one.
Sister Wives. It's Sister Wife. It all fell apart over the course of two short years.
Is that show still on, too, the one you were watching where they were looking for the third or it was the
Seeking Sister Wife?
Well, there's that one. And then there's the other one. Didn't you tell me? I don't know. There's a couple of them. They're all on TLC.
Yeah, they're all on TLC. Turn on TLC.
Yeah.
Seeking Sister Wife hasn't had a season in a while, but it was interesting while it was there.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
Seeking
yeah, yeah,
Sister
yeah.
Wife.
Yeah, we watched a couple of episodes
and then
here.
And there was the Seeking Husband Wife or Brother.
Seeking Brother Husband yeah. or Sister Husband or whatever.
Yeah. That had one season.
Yeah. They didn't come back. And by the way, very rarely does someone come back for a second season of Seeking Sister Wife.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work out. It just doesn't. I guess they move on or they don't want to be filmed. It must be hard to be in that lifestyle, but then on top of that, to have a camera crew
sure.
following you around, that's extra hard. But there were a few couples that kind of, you know, they seem to have figured it out, at least in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Here's the Seeking Sister Wife season 4. All right. Come on. Where is that? All right. Watch The Pit. The Pit is just fantastic, by the way. It's so fucking good. The Pit. The Pit on Max. I'm telling you, I won't disappoint you with this one.
Yeah.
Unless you don't like blood or bones or guts, in that case, you probably don't watch The Pit, I guess. It's hyper realistic. TCBpodcast.com. More information about Chrissy and I. All the audio, all the video right there from one location. TCBpodcast.com. You can also get your free TCB sticker. Hit the contact us button. Drop down menu says, I want my free sticker. Give us your physical address and we will send you one. No problem. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Text us questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We are taking them all to that phone number. You can also leave us a voicemail if you would like to be the next voice on TCB. Leave us a voicemail. Make it short. Make it sweet. Don't use your name if you don't want us to say your name. Those simple rules. Simple rules, Chrissy. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. For all the episodes, the same on video, the same day they air here on the audio. All right. Well, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.